League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the... Wait, do I do a pause? Do I do a WT?
I think you still do it, because I was listening to the older ones, and you did the... You used to do it really like, that time when. But now, it's just normal, and now you're just like, that time Maybe when I should... edition.
Okay, right, we're going to try it again, but we're just going to keep rolling. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the That Time When WT... F1 podcast, and it is that time when Vettel won a crazy Hungarian Grand Prix. Now joining me in the time capsule,
are you going to do this?
Is Tom Bellingham, the WTF1 founder? How's it going, Tommy?
I'm fine. I genuinely thought you're going to do the whole podcast like that.
I think we should. Yes.
Yes. Wonderful.
So, of course, it is the Hungarian Grand Prix coming up this weekend, and we thought we'd reflect on some crazy stuff that's gone on around the track in Budapest. And I think this track, people think, is a bit of a meh, but actually has provided some
bangers,
quite stellar races.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? People think it's Monaco without the walls, people call it, but there's been so many entertaining races, and this one in particular, by the way, I don't understand what it is about it, but it is so underrated. There's no mention of it. There's no highlights even of it on YouTube. I guess it was pre F1 YouTube channel days, but still people tend to mention 2014 when Ricciardo won. But this race, in my opinion, is crazier. It's better, massively underrated. And you'll see why when we go into it, because boy, does a lot of stuff happen.
It really does. And I'm looking forward to reflecting on it with the founder right here. It's let's look at what Formula One was in 2015. Well, should we? Do we dare look back at the Mercedes dominance? But it was, in fact, the second year.
Every year starts with Mercedes dominance.
Yeah, of Mercedes dominating. But Vettel was very impressive in his first year at Ferrari. And young Max Verstappen was having his first year in Formula One driving for Toro Rosso.
Indeed, so, 17 years old.
Very
youngest
young.
Driver ever and ever will be, because they've now stopped people doing that. So they will never
be at least 18, don't you know?
Yeah, they'll never be a younger driver unless they change that rule again. And Max, was still 17, even in this race.
And he was, let's say, fast but crash happy.
It very much his early days of loads of pace, would get into the odd accident, but showed a lot of potential. And Sebastian Vettel, who as you said in the title, wins this race, extremely impressive in his first year at Ferrari actually. And this was the era where Vettel joined Ferrari and everyone was suddenly like, after him dominating in the Red Bull, everyone suddenly thought, oh, wow, Sebastian Vettel's really funny, a really nice guy. It was that era where he was always in the press conference with the two Mercedes drivers kind of picking fun at them and making jokes and stuff. So, it was a funny era, and Vettel was very good. It was the Hamilton-Rosberg Vettel was the Hambot-Ver of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Very much so.
Those three loved a press conference. So it's worth mentioning, so this was the first F1 race since the sad passing of Jules Bianchi. So there were some lovely tributes before the race. All the drivers stood around with their helmets on the ground, didn't they?
And Bianchi's in the middle, which, in my opinion, we'll get into this, but I wonder how much this contributed to the craziness of this race, that perhaps, I know Formula One drivers are built different and can block these things out, but I do wonder how much, and it was the right thing to do, of course, you had to pay tribute to Bianchi, who'd recently passed, but to stand on the grid, essentially mourn your lost colleague, and then get into a Formula One car and drive a race. I know a lot of people said after the race that I wonder how much this contributed to them, because it must have, however much you try and block it out, it must have been in your heads like a very emotional moment, start a race, and then you get straight into your car and have to drive a Formula One race.
Yeah, that must, even for the most mentally prepared athletes,
yeah.
I don't think there's a bigger challenge than having almost you question your own mortality just before you go and go racing. So, yeah, I wonder if the timing of that was maybe slightly off. But either or, it was a lovely tribute. And, yeah,
absolutely.
It was, yeah, very sad for Jules to pass. So now looking towards what happened after qualifying. So Mercedes were 1-2, shock.
By a mile again. Seven tenths. Hamilton was clear of Vettel in third. It's just
quite a lovely gap to slot in, wasn't it? If you were a Nico Rosberg or whatever trying to...
Yeah, well, Rosberg was half a second slower than his teammate and still was P2.
That was the beauty of being Rosberg's teammate. Do you think Rosberg would have won the title that year? Not this year, obviously, but the year that he did, 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If there was another team to slot into a gap closer than half a second.
Yeah, that's the thing. All you really needed to be, it's not to count out a title, because, you know, you have to be good to win a title. But the fact that you can have an absolutely abysmal race and still finish second, spoiler alert, it doesn't happen in this. It shows how bad it has to go. This race proves how bad it has to go for Mercedes not to be 1-2. It really does.
We were treated to an absolute thriller. So Sebastian Vettel started third on the grid. And as the lights went out on Sunday race day, it was chaos from the absolute beginning. You had Felipe Massa lining up in the wrong grid spot.
So he had to do another lap. They did the start, he got into the wrong grid spot, and then, as they normally do when they do an abandoned start, they had to go around again, and then it went from 70 laps to 69 laps. Yeah, he started at the back, I believe. He got a penalty as well later on for it.
Not ideal. Not ideal if you're Felipe Massa getting on the wrong grid spot. And then at the beginning, the Ferraris jumped the Mercedes.
Yeah, wild.
Which was tight as well, wasn't it? They were running about 2 millimeters apart. Was it Vettel and Hamilton going down towards turn one?
Yeah.
It was very close indeed. But yeah, the Ferraris hung it round the outside, didn't they, at turn one, to allow the little switch, not switcheroo, but the swooperoo, I'm going to call it, around the outside. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good move from Vettel to get the lead. And then Hamilton ended up from pole, and being on pole by an absolute mile, ending up P4 after like the first sequence of corners you had. It was Vettel leading, Raikkonen second, Rosberg third.
Hamilton Raikkonen fourth. Went up the inside, didn't he, at turn two, which I think it's because Hamilton locked up slightly.
Yeah.
And which opened the door for Kimi. So then after two corners, yeah, both the Ferraris are through. And then, yeah, it got very tight, didn't it, between Rosberg and Hamilton, as it always did.
Into the old chicane. Hamilton didn't really settle for P4. He got squeezed a little bit, but he's never going around the outside of that tight chicane on lap one. And he just got pushed into the gravel or grass and ended up having to go straight over that chicane. And it dropped him all the way back to P10.
And you still think at that point Hamilton can win.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of those things.
The dominating era that this was, you're like, Mercedes can still win by three laps, no problem. Hamilton down to 10th. And Nico Hülkenberg, the man, the myth, the legend, the record holder of the most amount of races.
Will he get a podium? We'll find out.
Yeah, will he get a podium this time out? We will see. But he was up to P4 from 11th at the start. That was quite the start from Nico.
Hell of a start.
But that wasn't the end of the chaos. Lap 19, Raikkonen's onboard camera flies off the car. And there was this team radio chat, wasn't there, where Kimi was saying something big has just flown off the car. Engineers come back to him and gone, well, we can't see anything. It must have been a small piece. And Kimi's like, no, it was big. And it turned out to be
a humongous piece.
His onboard camera.
Yeah, they used the cameras for aero back then. The kind of front cameras on the nose cone were slightly raised above the nose cone, and they used them as almost like an aero piece. So the fact that the camera flew off wasn't just a case of, oh, we don't get Kimi's onboard. It meant he did have an imbalance in the aerodynamics as well. So it wasn't just the fact that we didn't get any onboards.
Yeah, an imbalance. Love that. I know it term. Also on lap 19, we had Maldonado and Perez collide, in which, of course, Pastor Maldonado received a penalty.
His first, man was, first penalty.
First and only penalty in Formula One, right?
Well, you joke, but it's not even his first penalty in this race.
Oh, dear.
Yes, he had quite the... they ran wide. Maldonado didn't give any room. They banged wheels coming out of turn one, and it sent Sergio off, and Pastor was given a penalty driving for Lotus at the time.
Good old Lotus. They weren't bad, were they, back then?
No, they were on their way down.
2013 was when they were really good.
2013 was when they were good, when it was Kimi and Grosjean. Maldonado joined them when they were sort of spiraling downwards.
Getting a little bit worse, and Maldonado, I'm sure, did not help the situation. Grosjean also got a penalty for an unsafe release in the pits, and by that point, Hamilton had also made its way up to fourth behind Rosberg. So it was still the two Ferraris, Vettel from Raikkonen, and then you had Rosberg, and then Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. Hamilton, exactly as you said, it didn't take him long to just breeze through the midfield. I mean, this is
at the Monaco with no walls.
At this track that's difficult. Yeah, he's got a car that's well over a second faster than them all. So makes his way back up to P4 and puts a bit of pressure on his old teammate.
Ooh, wonder what will happen. We'll find out. Then there's a safety car. Kimi Raikkonen reports a loss of power as well. I think they tried to pit him, didn't they, and stick a big old motor in the back and see if that could basically reset and give him some more power. What was the safety car actually for? Was that, it was the Hülkenberg thing?
Yeah, it was Hülkenberg
where his front wing just similar to how kind of similar, I suppose, although the video I'm thinking of is the Toro Rosso losing both of its front wheels at China. Not quite that, but obviously the same kind of visual effect where there's just a lot of smoke at the front of the car. The car goes kind of down, or I guess up and then down, because it mounts underneath with that front wing. But of course, with Hülkenberg having that, there was absolutely no chance of him stopping it, as he was basically on a skateboard.
Yeah, it was such a weird incident. They said after the race that it was something due to the curbing, but it was such a bizarre incident where it does look like his front wing just falls off for absolutely no reason. And we'll say it now, it's another Hülkenberg moment of what might have been.
We can't say that he bottled it, though.
No, exactly. Not this time. He didn't bottle it. It was a car failure. But to add insult to injury, the person running behind him, shall we say, at this point, no spoilers, finishes the race P2. So it's very much that could have been it. But for whatever reason.
Every single that time when we do. It's like Nico Hülkenberg could have had a podium in this race.
Exactly. It is all the crazy. Well, I guess because we cover the crazy races as well. They're the ones that he always does really well. Then something happens. So
I think we should do a that time guy. when he just had a solid seventh place position and actually finished the race. So, of course, after that incident, the VSC was deployed, which then became the full safety car. Big drama. With 20 laps to go, the safety car restart order was Vettel, Raikkonen, Rosberg, Hamilton, and then Ricciardo. Rosberg takes away P2 from Raikkonen. Was he still having issues at this point?
He was. He was a sitting duck, really. He was dropping back through the field, and it wasn't long before he retired with the issue because he just had no power.
No power. No power for Kimi. And then Hamilton is battling Ricciardo, who's, I mean, why is Ricciardo on the back of Hamilton at this point? Just,
it's the safety car restart. It's straight after the safety car. Hamilton, not caught sleeping, but Ricciardo gets a good run out the corner.
I think he's caught Perezing now.
Is that the new phrase? Yeah, he's going round the outside of Hamilton, and Hamilton just has that classic understeer moment. Slams.
Loves an understeer moment, doesn't he?
Yeah. Of a Red Bull as well. Again, yeah. He sees a Red Bull and suddenly his car just understeers and he goes into the side of him. Seems to happen a lot, but there we go. Hamilton, yeah, into the side of Ricciardo. He's given a drive-through for this, breaks his front wing as well. So it's kind of double pain. So he has to pit for his front wing change. And he's also getting a drive-through.
Very harsh penalty for those, when you actually think of maybe what it would have been given in this day
now,
and age.
Now I think it's a 5 second time penalty,
yeah,
you'd say.
The drive through is, you know, pretty hefty. Hamilton was given a drive through, but of course he had to be in the pits again because of his front wing. So safe to say it wasn't going very well for Hamilton.
No.
Then Rosberg starts catching Vettel for the lead, and you're thinking, well, this is it. Mercedes are going to win again.
Rosberg's catching Vettel, but Vettel's resisting the pressure at the moment.
Just about. Doing well. Just about. Let's also bring up Pastor Maldonado again, shall we? Who got two more penalties. What did he do?
So, as you'll remember from earlier, Maldonado crashed into the side of Sergio Perez, and he was given a drive-through. And as he came in for that drive-through, he sped in the pit lane. So they gave him another penalty. So he sped in the pit lane during his drive-through, and then during that safety car period, he also sped behind the safety car. So he had then had another penalty. And it's actually, to this day, and it's the most Pastor Maldonado record. Of course he has this record. It's the most penalties for any driver in a Formula One race. To get three penalties in the same race is a record. And I pray that that record stays intact, because only one person deserves that record, and it's Maldonado. It has to be his.
I bet
forever.
He's got a plaque or something in his living room. Just says, yeah, most penalties. So no one else has had three penalties in a race.
No, I was surprised by that.
I was like, Tsunoda picked up two just by crossing the pit entry line twice, yeah, in Austria that time. I was thinking, oh, maybe if you just yeet someone, he can join the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Wow. No one's had three penalties.
The only one with three penalties in a race.
Good lad, good lad. So other things that went on, Kimi Raikkonen finally retired with his problem, and Verstappen was given a drive-through.
He was. Not particularly a very interesting, it was just a very unlucky thing where he went a little bit too fast behind the safety car, and they've obviously got to stick to a delta time, and he got a drive-through for essentially not sticking to that delta and driving a bit too fast.
They loved a drive-through back then, didn't they? They absolutely loved a drive-through. Do you prefer five-second time penalties or drive-throughs?
See, for me, it depends what it is. Not just saying this because it was Verstappen, but a drive-through penalty is quite excessive for that, in my opinion. And same for the Hamilton incident where he's just understeered and gone into a car. It's not malicious. Drive-through seems like one of those things where you've just done something really, really bad, and it slows you down quite a lot. But simple mistakes, I don't think, should be warranted with such a harsh punishment. So I think it's fair now that they give 5 seconds for things.
Yeah, agreed. So now moving into the final few laps, you guessed it, more chaos. The top three was battling for the win. You had Vettel ahead of Rosberg, ahead of Ricciardo, and they were all 2 seconds apart. Danny Ric decides, you know what? Screw this Mercedes dominance. I'm going to dive bomb Rosberg. And they then make contact. Danny Ric, I think, just clips one of the rears of Rosberg out of turn one.
Yeah, so he dives down the inside, and the nature of Hungary turn one, that kind of long hairpin, Ricciardo comes back onto the track, and Rosberg sort of just takes his normal line as if Ricciardo's not there. It is obviously, Ricciardo should have probably seen it coming as well. But then when Ricciardo comes back on track, he just clips the front wing slightly, damages the front wing of Ricciardo, who has to pit, and then Nico Rosberg ends up with a puncture.
Not good. A lot of chaos. A lot of collisions.
No.
Other things that went on, Verstappen passed Alonso for P4, and bearing in mind Alonso is in a McLaren Honda, which was a tractor
then. Yeah, they qualified 15th and 16th for the record. So that's how bad they were. They were clearly the worst team apart from Sauber and Marussia that season. So, they were really, really, really poor. So Alonso being up in P4 kind of says everything you needed to know about how insane that race was.
Absolutely. So come the checkered flag, Sebastian Vettel won. Probably was one of the only drivers not to have an issue as well. So it was quite a uneventful race for Sebastian Vettel? Was he just
he was
doing his thing?
Genuinely the only one. I'll go through the whole order later and like pick out everyone that had an issue, but he genuinely was one of the only people in the entire race to just have got into the lead at the start. It was only really Rosberg putting him under a bit of pressure in the middle of the race where it ever thought he was going to have an issue. And one thing that's worth mentioning as well is obviously Sebastian Vettel winning for Ferrari. Jules Bianchi was obviously a Ferrari junior as well, and he paid tribute to Bianchi on the radio, and it seemed quite fitting that Ferrari would win, and they got to like celebrate that and kind of pay tribute to Bianchi.
Yeah, it was a very nice team radio. So after Sebastian Vettel, Danny Kvyat still took P2 despite being given a 10-second time penalty for track limits, which just shows how the big gap between all the drivers after all the collisions and front wing changes and punctures. And P3
and he was the guy that was behind Hülkenberg when Hülkenberg had his front wing failure with only 20 laps to go. So
it was probably on the absolute set on podium for Nico Hülkenberg. I'm sure he doesn't think about it at all when he goes to bed.
No, definitely not.
Not at all. Yeah, he's just listening to these that time wins. Like, forgot. Can you stop making this about me for once?
Yeah.
And then in P3, despite the collision, Danny Ric finished on the podium. So, quite the eventful race. Verstappen finished P4 despite getting the drive-through penalty, and it was actually the first time since 2013 Brazil that there was no Mercedes on the podium.
Yeah, and it was actually one thing that was quite interesting. It was a good day for the Red Bull driver program because Vettel, Kvyat, Ricciardo and Verstappen were all Red Bull proteges, if you like. So it looked great on them that essentially they'd finished 1, 2, 3, 4. It was Toro Rosso's best result since the 2008 Italian Grand Prix. Verstappen was one of those drivers, again, that thought without that drive-through, he could have potentially ended up on a podium for Toro Rosso, which would have been crazy. And that put a little bit of pressure on Red Bull to promote him, despite the fact that Kvyat was up there in P2. It was impressive stuff. And the race was so insane that the McLaren Hondas finished 5th and 9th, which for them was some of the only points they scored all season. It was that chaotic. There's no way Alonso should have finished 5th. But he still finished, despite all those late safety cars, 50 seconds behind Sebastian Vettel in the winner, which shows just how slow that car was and how chaotic the race needed to be. If you go through the order, Sebastian Vettel obviously won, was fine. Kvyat, despite the 10-second penalty, second. Ricciardo had loads of incidents. He was third. Verstappen had a drive-through. He was 4th. Alonso was driving a McLaren Honda. Hamilton was 6th. He had, obviously, multiple issues. Romain Grosjean had a drive-through. He was 7th. Rosberg had a puncture and loads of issues. He was 8th. Jenson Button in a McLaren Honda was 9th. And Marcus Ericsson just in a slow Sauber. So it was crazy. So many incidents. Mercedes still somehow finished 6th and 8th, despite having loads of issues, punctures, drive-throughs, everything. And it showed exactly what you needed that season, because it was a pretty boring season, it has to be said. Maybe that's why this race is forgotten about.
Well, I can't personally wait for a few years' time when we do that time when for last year, 2021, because we're not on. Well, I love how just there's so many crazy things that go on around this Hungarian GP circuit. It also seems as though we might get some changeable weather conditions for this weekend as well, by the looks of things on the weather forecast. So, yeah, Bottas will be, even if there's one, just one droplet of rain, you better believe that Bottas has gone on heavy wets, because I don't think he'll be particularly, yeah.
Won't Joe Guan Yu for the win.
Yeah, come on, put some money on it. Do it. Well, there you go. Thank you, Tommy, for your wonderful insight as always, and taking us back to when you were, what, 62 back then?
Yeah, only just in my 60s, I think.
In your 60s. Oh, well, happy birthday for them. Thank you, everybody, for watching the That Time Went podcast. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to send us any suggestions on what you would like to hear next time. You can also email us, can't you, at contact...
podcast at WTF1.com
So you can send any your suggestions there as well. We do read them all. And yeah, that is it. Thank you so much for listening and watching. You're not watching, you're listening to this That Time When podcast. And we'll see you very soon for another episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We're waving. Always waving. Even though you can't see us.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.